Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Revelation 3:20 reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." I have frequently heard this verse used in evangelistic context, calling people to open the door to a relationship with Christ. Does it really mean that?
Great question. You know, it's been a while since we've done a "Does it really mean that?" Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why we haven't done one. I'm not sure why, but these usually come in anonymously. And this is a good time to address that. You know, if you don't have to ask questions anonymously. So the reason that we put the anonymous feature in there is, like, if you have in a kind of something that might be somewhat embarrassing to ask, mm-hmm. we don't want that to prevent you from asking a question. But something like it, "Does it really mean that?" I can't imagine that would be an embarrassing question.
Right.
And so if you ask it, "Does it mean that? Does it really mean that question?" and you put your name in there, we can actually follow up and find out, okay, what do you think it means, so that we can address it. Plus, it proves that somebody other than Jason is listening to the podcast. I always find it encouraging when I find somebody asking a question and they put their name in there and I don't recognize the name. It's, you know, something other than our immediate friends and family listening. But anyway, people will they'll ask these anonymously, and they usually just have a scripture reference, and then the question, "Does it really mean that?" And we can really only do an episode on a verse if you tell us what you've heard it means, or what you think it means. Otherwise, we're kind of left answering a question with a question. Does it really mean what? We don't know what you're referring to. So if you have a "Does it really mean that?" question, either put your name in there or tell us what you think it means so that we can address it. So if you have already asked us a "Does it really mean that?" question, and it's been sitting in the hopper for a couple of years and you're wondering why we haven't asked it or answered it, that might be why. Just send us another message and tell us what interpretation you're asking about, and we'll get to it. But we're happy to answer this one.
Yeah, so Greg, where do we usually start with these?
We may always start with the context. I'd have to look back at all of these episodes, but we start with the context. 9 times out of 10, a misunderstanding of a particular verse is due to its being pulled out of context or to a person not understanding the context. And that's why we at Providence really like expository messages. Because when you're preaching expository messages or you're working your way straight through a book, the context is exposed and you understand every verse in the context of every other verse, and you understand a book in the context of the whole Bible, and it tends to eliminate a lot of confusions. And so I guess in a sense, if everybody preached expository messages, there would be no "Does it really mean that?" episodes, which would be okay. We would find something else to do with our time.
So what is the context of Revelation 3:20?
Okay. Well, this is one verse from one of the letters from Christ to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In particular, this comes from the letter to the church in Laodicea. And that these are letters to churches, they're letters to believers. That could answer the whole question for us, but I'll actually go ahead and push further here. Have you ever heard of Steve Camp?
Is he a theologian?
Now we might say he's a theologian. He's a pastor down in Florida.
Yes,
but
I know who he is.
But, you know, like 20, 30 years ago, he was a contemporary Christian singer.
Yep.
And I just loved this guy.
He sang the intro to James White's podcast, right? A Mighty
Indeed.
Fortress.
No, different.
Okay,
guy.
My bad.
But they would be friends. They're kind of the same.
Okay.
Of the same theological mindset. Anyway, when I hear the word Laodicea, I always think of Steve Camp, and I think of that letter to the church at Laodicea because he's got this song called "Living in Laodicea," and I'm tempted to sing it right now, brothers. I'll pull myself back. I'll just tell everybody get on Spotify or whatever and look up Steve Camp.
Apple Music.
Your preferred music provider, And look up Steve Camp Living in Laodicea. It's going to sound like cheesy 80s music, but it's great. It's great. Okay. So in most of these letters to the seven churches, the Lord commends these churches for something. And then he says, but I have this against you. And then he gives them something to repent of and to change. And each of these letters tells what that particular church needs to do to persevere or to conquer. Okay. So for the sake of getting the whole picture, I'm going to read the entire section to the church at Laodicea. All right. So we're respecting the context here. This is just 9 verses. So stay with me. Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. Into the church, into the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I have need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, also as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I won't take the time to explain the cultural background of all of this, both the hot and cold water. Both the hot and cold water are good in this text. Hot water is useful. You can wash with it. You can bathe in it. You can make drinks with it. Cold water is great, too. It's refreshing. They're both good. Some mistakenly think that hot in this context equals loving God and cold equals not loving God, and the Laodiceans are somewhere in the middle. And God's saying, man, I'd rather you either not love me or love me a whole lot rather than just love me a little bit. And that's not what's being said. No, they are ineffective. They're not useful for anything because they have become enamored with the world. They've become satisfied with worldly riches, and they need to come back to fellowship with him. Again, this is a letter to believers calling them to repent of this behavior. Verse 19 reinforces this, that is being written to believers, because he says he reproves and disciplines those he loves. This is the same kind of language that we find in places like Hebrews chapter 12, that the Lord disciplines his own children. This is a loving disposition, not one of judgment, which we'd expect if the Lord was speaking to the lost. Further, I would contend that the verse in question here about standing at the door and knocking is an allusion to the Song of Songs. In chapter 5 of the song, the wife becomes momentarily indifferent to her husband who's knocking at the door. He wants to come in to fellowship with her, but she can't be bothered to get up and let him in. And I've made the case before that the love of the song is exemplified in Christ. Jesus depicts himself in Revelation 3:20 as the husband of the bride desiring to come in to have fellowship with her. And again, that indicates that this is written to believers. So this verse is written to those who already believe, but who have become dulled to Christ. He's calling them back to fellowship with him. So I would say, no, it's not appropriate to use this text the way so many of us have heard it used, which is as an evangelistic text saying, hey, Jesus is an evangelistic Jesus, knocking on the door of the unsaved person saying, hey, let me in, let me be your Savior. It's not really the way that the text is used in the context. It's not the way that it should be used.
So what is the harm in using it that way as a picture of Jesus desiring to have a relationship with the lost?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've heard, and out of respect this, I've heard one evangelist say, yeah, I know the context. I know actually what Jesus is saying. I still think it's appropriate to use it this way. And I actually respect him for being honest about it. But first, I would say that we should use Scripture the way it's intended and not shape it to fit our objectives. Secondly, there are far better texts that actually speak to the issue of evangelism, so why not use those? We could use language from Acts chapter 2 or Acts 17. We could use language from 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. And the main difference between those passages, which are explicitly evangelistic, and the one that we've just looked at in Revelation 3, is that these evangelistic passages present the call to salvation as a command. When we use Revelation 3:20 inappropriately as an evangelistic text, we can get the sense that the gospel is an invitation. I'm sorry, it's an invitation. Jesus is just waiting patiently, and I've even heard people use that kind of language, saying things like, "Jesus is a gentleman; he's not going to force his way in." Well, the truth is that if Jesus is going to save a dead person, he's going to have to force his way in.
Yeah.
You've got to bring that person to life. The gospel just isn't an invitation. You search the scriptures, brothers and sisters. Search them. It's not an invitation. It's a command. Acts chapter 17, he commands all people everywhere not to repent. The apostles throughout the New Testament refer to the gospel as something that must be obeyed. So let's just use the passages that the Holy Spirit has inspired for the purposes that he's given them. And, you know, there may be people listening who need to hear Revelation 3:20 today in the way that it was intended.
Yeah.
They've become lukewarm. They've become ineffective in their faith because of their love for worldly things. They need to return to the beauty of the gospel and the priority of fellowship with Jesus. And to those people, the Lord says today, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So, brothers and sisters, let's return to warm-hearted fellowship with the Lord Jesus who saved us.
Amen. Well, we hope you found this helpful. If you did, please give it a like, share it. And until next time, Greg.
All right. See you.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.